It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey.
We have to fight.
With Mike Schopen the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Is there nowhere any tape of Paul scoring a goal? It's always these penalties. Mm. It's this one incident that, I don't know, I would not let that define me. But, I don't know, maybe we don't have audio of, wasn't Paul like an accomplished goal scorer?
Paul was an excellent all-around player.
Not a fighter.
Paul, right?
Yeah, we almost, my girlfriend recorded that in her dorm room. And I scored 2 goals in the first 5 minutes of the game, and she hadn't started recording yet.
Oh, well, tough one.
That was the end of that relationship.
Yeah.
So that was the end. But that was the end of my chance to get a hat trick, was getting involved in that
fight
mess that you heard. But, yeah, I had 2 goals before the game was 5 minutes old.
Just take your word for it.
Tone setter. That's what they used to call you in college. Not the bone. Tone setter.
Paul. Right. I never scored 4 goals in a game. I did score 5 once.
Just decided, why not five?
Never got the 4.
Why not 5? Just keep going. Let's start with Alex Tuck today, Paul. Not that his not returning is a shock at all, but we know now, traded to Washington, the Capitals get to sign him for an extra year this way. Put it into perspective, maybe, knowing that, again, we've had the conversations about him that we, you know, all kind of thought this probably would happen somewhere.
Well, none of us knew what went into this decision. Is it going to be a location? Does he want to go out west where his wife is from? This is his hometown team. They're just getting good. My sources are telling me that the Sabres did up their offer. I don't think they hit 10, but I think they got it up around 9 or a little bit over. And all right, let's be honest, this is about money. And he took the money. And off to Washington he goes. And it was really about nothing else. I mean, you can't tell me it's a, you know, in Washington where it's crazy that it's better life or whatever. Maybe it is. I don't know. I didn't live in Washington. It was about money, and he's going to get it.
And, you know, he earned that, and that's how that goes. In the end, Paul, do you think – is it fair to like want to see what else they pull off here before deciding whether they should have gotten to 10? I never thought that they were going to get all the way there. I had heard 9, 9.5 for a while, and you started talking about 8.5, and that really was kind of like, oh my gosh, are they just trying not to sign him? Is what I thought when I heard about that. I don't know, how hard do you want to be on the Sabres for not getting to the number?
Well, I didn't think 8.5 would be their final offer, and it wasn't, you know, if that's where it was. And I believe that it was in that area. So it wasn't their final offer, but Jarmo Kekalainen again reiterated today about the dangers of signing a 30-year-old to an 8-year contract. Then you get into the money standpoint. He said in order to go to Tuck's number, they would have had to get rid of 3, maybe 4 players, which he wasn't willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would have been that many, especially opening up $10.25 million with the last night's activities, with 2 players going to the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, Benson will eat up around $7 million of what they had. I mean, they had around $13 million to spend this year, and Benson would have eaten up around $7 million of that. You would add $6 million to spend, and then you just got $10 million back, so you would have had like $16 million to spend, you know, for what you wanted to do. And they Kekalainen just didn't seem comfortable with it. He didn't feel that. Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it. He didn't think Tuck was worth $10.5 million. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
and whether it was for the team, what the team could do after they would sign that player to $10.5 million. And he just didn't feel that asking price was worth it to the Buffalo Sabres. He definitely, I think, has other things up his sleeve that he would like to try to accomplish. And he did also mention that some agents have told him that they have clients that have taken the Sabres off their no trade. So, you know, there's starting to be an appetite to maybe come to the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know if players named Larkin or Robertson have an appetite to do that. But, you know, so, you know, he'll be looking into that. He, you know, he acknowledged what Tuck brings is, you know, he was a big part of their roster. He was a big, good leader. He was an important player. But, as he said, some players have the right to choose, and he chose differently. And so, but, you know, the one thing he said, which if he winds up doing, I think will make this trade worse, or, you know, this transaction worse, if you want to call it a trade. I guess it is, but is, you know, he said, well, you know, we have good young players here, and, you know, if we have to replace within, he goes, I'm very confident we can do that. I think your team is not even anywhere near as good as it was if that's your move.
Yeah.
You know, it's I believe in Osland, and I believe in Kulik, and I believe in
Hellenius,
and I think they have two studs coming on defense, Mertka and Kleber, within the next couple of years, 1 to 2 years, but that's a ways away. And where's Thompson when these guys get ready to make the Sabres good, which I think they will. But where's Thompson at in his career then? Where is, you know, some of the other guys? Where's Dahlin at in his career when all this is happening? So I think that would be a huge mistake. I don't think that's necessarily what he wants to do.
Right.
I don't think that's what he's setting out to do. You know, I think he's looking to bring a really good player in to replace Tuck, but it's not going to be a $10.5 million player, you know, because he's already said they can't afford that unless something goes out, you know, some money goes out if you're attempting to do that. And if Robertson is willing to come to Buffalo, I'd be attempting to get some people out of here to bring a player like that in here.
Jason Robertson. Well, there's always this. Not always. I mean, a lot of these.
By the way, he's thought to be looking for a contract in the $12.5 million range, Robertson.
Right.
So
that's why I said you'd
outrageous.
Have to get some folks out
of
here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was going to say there's always a short-term goals versus long-term vision battle. Not always. Like when a lot of these Sabre teams have been bad and there's no short-term element at all. You're just trying to dig out with youth and prospects, etc. But here, I mean, I guess if it's right that the Sabres offered Tuck something close to what he ended up getting, that's not the same as saying, well, we don't think he's got it anymore. But it can be said, and we would all say it, that long term, that's going to be a lot of money for what he's probably going to give you in a few years, if not sooner. So interesting spot here, of course, for Kekalainen and Paul, with the balance of always having the long term stuff in mind, not being willing to sign Byram for what that would cost versus what they got in, I think, an excellent trade package. We'll talk about that. But also, you know, trying to get farther with a team that went deep this year.
And he got some things in that trade that will allow him possibly to reload with good players, really good players. You know, the fourth overall pick, moving up to 20. I mean, if we're talking about a really, really good player and you put both those picks in a package, you know, you can maybe get that really good player where maybe you couldn't before. So, you know, that's helped him to load up. Even, you know, your third round pick that you're going to get for Tuck could become part of a trade, you know, that you can include, you know, in something like that. Or the second round pick that you got from Chicago. You know, you may have to give up one of your what I call two stud defensemen that are on their way, because I think they're both projected in my mind to be top four defensemen. And let's face it, look at the ages of your top three. They're not going anywhere soon, and they're all tied into long-term deals. So you got maybe one spot in the top four. So maybe one of those two wind up in some sort of a trade that lands you a really good player. So, you know, there's a lot of highway here.
Sure, they've got a ton of ammunition, including what they got last night. I mean, you know, I immediately thought, okay, well, you can flip the fourth into, like, I don't know, your name here. I mean, it's a matter of whether you can get guys to waive and you can afford them and all that. But, like, you know, that's a valuable asset. To me, it's a much more valuable asset if I'm sort of rebuilding here. But I'm not. I'm trying to build on a 109-point team that won the division that should be looked at as a cup contender. And, yeah, I mean, I like the deal in a vacuum. I mean, I think they fleeced Chicago, but I really didn't get anything I need directly from it unless I spin four into something that helps me right away.
If you wind up with a forward, one of the top three forwards or four forwards, you might get somebody you can use pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I mean, the people are talking about the top three picks being forwards, which means Buffalo, in a very good defenseman draft, would get the top defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But with what we're talking about now, I mean, Dahlin took him 4 years. Power took him 4 years. Now, there are exceptions. Schaefer,
right.
McCarr, Quinn Hughes, and we can go on, Hudson. There are exceptions to that rule. But still, you're probably 2-3 years away or more with a top defenseman that you might be getting. That's not on the menu right now, I think. That's not what you're looking for, I would think.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're looking for, then you're going backwards as a team. You're not going forward. So that's not what I would be looking for. I'd be looking for somebody that I can get in here and be useful to my team within the year.
With Paul Hamilton. So how do you think, saying all that, they did last night with this trade? I mean, again, as Bulldog has said, we all have. There's still more to happen here in the next week, assumedly. But just, you know, at least in a vacuum, what do you think of the Byram trade?
No, it was great. I mean, I'm making phone calls, like, going, what now?
What's
the
catch?
Is this right now? Now, it's the fourth, and Buffalo probably has to give up 20, right? No. No.
Right.
What do you mean no? They're getting the fourth. Okay, well then Buffalo has to give up the second round pick. No. And they're getting a defenseman too that did play in the top four for Chicago. Oh, they are they? Who's 6'8"?
And has a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot.
Yeah.
Right.
I kept making calls saying, well, this isn't quite right, right? I mean, it has to be this.
What about Greenway, Paul? Was that a plus in your mind, too?
Yeah, sure, because we've been talking about that for a bit now. You know, how do you open up some money? Well, Greenway's $4 million and McLeod's $5 million, open up $9 right there. You know, well, Greenway went, and Chicago is willing to take that on. So you opened up $4 million between the two of them that went to Chicago. You opened up $10.25 million in your salary cap. You can open up $5 million more if you have to, in my mind, because I'll just keep saying it. I think Austlin right now is as good or better than McLeod. He's not as fast, and speed does matter. But judging by what I saw last year, McLeod had a down year defensively to the point where Ruff basically had to take him off his line by the time the playoffs were over. And Austlin was always out there at the end or, you know, when you needed him at age 21. So I think if you need to and you need to open up his money, you've got a guy you can put in his spot.
So we've got the vacancy from Tuck, the vacancy from Byram. We haven't talked about goaltending. Bulldog and I did yesterday. What is your feeling about what the Sabres want to do in goal, if anything, and B, does anything that's happened in the last 24 hours change that?
Yeah, it didn't sound like him talking about the goaltending today that he's all that concerned about it.
Okay.
I think he and I are on a pretty similar wavelength there. If you can improve your goaltending, by all means, improve it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's something there that comes your way and you can improve it and it's reasonable to do it, yes, try to improve anywhere. You know, if you can get Cal Makar, and he's, well, you have Rasmus Dahlin, but you can improve your D, well, of course you go get Cal Makar. You know, so if you can get a goaltender that's going to make you better, but in my opinion, if it's me, I am not giving up the fourth pick overall for a goaltender. I'm just not. Especially to get a goaltender who's going to take 8.5 off my salary cap, who has won a gold medal and played really, really well and basically stole Team USA a gold medal, but who's not performed well in the playoffs as a Winnipeg Jet. But is he a better goalie than what Buffalo has on their roster? Yes, he is. I'm just not giving up a fourth-round pick.
Fourth overall, yeah.
Fourth overall and putting 8.5 on my for a goaltender. I'm just not. I used to say a first-round pick, I'm not giving up any first-round pick for a goaltender. I've since, you know, with Vasilevsky and stuff, I've kind of cooled on that a little bit. I think, yeah, would I give up 20? Yeah, probably. But I wouldn't get. I just wouldn't.
I think I'm with you, Paul. Like I want action, and like Hellebuck's not my favorite idea, but I also wouldn't be like, you know, lighting fires and burning things down if they were to make a move. But I don't think the fourth overall pick. Like if that's what it would take to make that deal, then I gotta have a different plan. I think is what I need.
No, I definitely agree that with that, and you need good goaltending to win in the playoffs. You know, I think Lukanen had some pretty good moments. Yeah, he let one in from the red line. That doesn't define him. I mean, Dominik Hasek letting a playoff goal from the red line, too. Think of Bondra and Junot. One scored from the wall and one scored from center ice. I mean, and Dominik Hasek is one of the best goaltenders that ever lived. You know, so it happens. You know, I'm not going to sit there and rip into Lukanen because he let a goal in from the red line. You know, is he inconsistent? Sure he is. I think he... From December 9th on, he was one of the better goaltenders around. I think Lyon also was very good. They had their moments in the playoffs both ways. But to me, it's not one of their biggest problems. But if I could be better in goal, and to me, Bobrovsky is not better in goal. I did not like him at all last year, and I'm wondering if he's done. So that, to me, would not be getting better in goal.
Can you get all the prospects back like a couple of days early so that you can talk to them again, knowing that now you might have to know one of them?
You came right to mind when I found out they got the fourth pick, Paul. As soon as I started pondering if they actually would make the selection instead of spinning it into, you know, Dylan Larkin or Matthew Nyes, be still my beating heart. I remember when Paul said he like this is what I said the same thing today. I'm looking at the I'm like, who are the guys at the top of the draft? I mean, I know the two forwards, but like, what about the rest? Like, I haven't spent much time at all because we thought, you know, 27 and then 20, but now suddenly it's, you know, they're right there at the top.
Well, I did get six of them: Stenberg, Smits, Veroff, McKenna, Mahaltra, and Reed. So I did
good
get
list.
Six of them.
Good list.
That's a good list.
Those are the top six.
That would
and
be
there's a pretty good chance.
That'd be one of the guys.
If Buffalo
yeah.
takes the pick, one yep. of those six is going to be their pick.
I think that's right. Yeah. Well, who did you like the most, Paul?
Who was the nicest?
Who was the most polite?
McKenna was very well spoken. Seemed to know his stuff. Obviously, that's not happening. Chase Reed. I think there's a pretty good chance, especially if the top three, because Mahalter and Reed talk together, and I think it could be one or the other.
Yep. If Vancouver wants to, you know, draft their new coach's son, like their right. their third, like that's
Reed probably should be the pick for them, but they may take the coach's son, who's a very good pick, and then I think Buffalo might go for the other, that wouldn't go if yep. Buffalo is actually making the pick and not trading it.
Where did Mahotra play? The junior, did he play out west?
I can find that in a minute here, but I'd need to look. I don't have it
yeah,
committed to memory.
I just wrote about him, and I forgot, to be quite honest. Oh, Brantford. He played for McKee in Brantford.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So not a huge culture shock, necessarily, if he doesn't go to Vancouver.
Yeah, because he talked about playing for McKee.
All right, good. So Friday is the day for the first round. Is there anything tomorrow? Like, that's when everybody gets in, the players and agents?
Everybody gets in. A couple of these guys will wind up at New Era. You know, just an event where they sign hats or get hats, or I don't know exactly what happens.
Both, probably. Sign and get hats.
Yeah. So that's more of a picture opportunity. type of a thing. And then we go at it on Friday.
Bulldog skipping on Friday.
Where is he skipping to?
I'm riding in
oh,
the.
That's right, you're riding.
Well, yes. Saturday's the big 45-mile ride, but Friday evening, they've had. Every year that I've lived in my house, the thing has ridden right past my house, a Peloton. It's at the top fundraisers each year get to ride in like a police-escorted Peloton from the Roswell campus out to UB. And I raised enough money. I raised enough last year but didn't want to take the day off, and this year I just really wanted to do it. So I'm doing that on
Friday.
I'd
want to, too. That's great.
So I'm gonna miss the draft, but I'm missing draft day.
You didn't know at the time. You didn't realize it was...
No, I didn't.
You didn't realize the Sabres would make the playoffs, so you went on a trip.
Right, now, right.
Oh, the draft is in Buffalo. I'm going to be off for another thing.
I had
good causes.
The days all mixed up, and I didn't even know. And, you know, Owen was in here on Saturday last year on the draft. I don't think he was involved in the first round coverage, but he, helped anchor 7 hours of draft coverage on Saturday, and he's going out of town, too. So he's not going to be around.
We're stripped bare.
You ready, Paul? More talking on
more
Saturday.
Paul. All the
and
Paul.
By the way, people, if I could give everybody a PSA here about the draft. To those of you going to the arena for the draft on Friday, don't forget the Taste of Country is also down there at the ballpark, and usually that is sold out.
Oh, yeah.
So parking is going to be wild down there. So just so people realize that if they didn't.
Thank you, Paul. We'll talk again probably tomorrow.
All right, take care.
All right, there you go. That's Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
How about these moves? Tuck to Washington, not a shock that he isn't returning, but sad. Bowen Byram to Chicago, the fourth overall pick. Do you want to use it? 803-0550, here for your comments. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.